This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
A New York Times CBS News poll has found the public's confidence in President Bush's ability to deal wisely with an international crisis has slid sharply over the past 5 months. 45% of Americans now have confidence in Mr. Bush's ability to deal wisely with an international crisis, down from 66% in April, and half now say they are uneasy about his approach. Just 40% of voters expressed confidence in Mr. Bush's ability to make the right decisions about the economy, down from half in April, while 56% said they were uneasy, up from 42% in April. ABC News obtained a copy of an unpublished book proposal with quotes from a verbatim transcript of an interview Schwarzenegger gave in 1975 while making the film Pumping Iron. Asked who his heroes are, he answered, "I admired Hitler, for instance, because he came from being a little man with almost no formal education up to power. I admire him for being such a good public speaker and for what he did with it." He is quoted as saying he wished he could have an experience like Hitler in the Nuremberg Stadium and have all those people scream at you and just be in total agreement with whatever you say. Schwarzenegger may be battling yet another opponent, the California Women's Law Center, who will be holding a press conference outside of his campaign's bus tour. They will be demanding that the district attorney investigate claims of sexual battery by the candidate, that regardless of the statute of limitations, if a crime has been committed, it should be investigated. Bush administration's chief investigator formally told Congress yesterday, after searching for nearly 6 months, that U.S. forces and CIA experts have found no chemical or biological weapons in Iraq and have determined that Iraq's nuclear program was in only the very most rudimentary state. Before the war, the administration said Iraq had a well-developed nuclear program that presented a threat to the United States. Now, it clearly does not look like a massive resurgent program based on what we discovered, said former U.N. Weapons Inspector David Kaye, who heads the government search, yesterday after briefing House and Senate intelligence committees in a closed session on his interim report. The investigation into the leak of a CIA officer's name is likely to expand to other Bush administration agencies, including the State and Defense Department's officials, said Thursday. A senior Justice Department official, speaking on condition of anonymity, said those agencies and possibly others could get letters urging officials to preserve documents such as phone logs and not to delete emails.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 save the music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
British scientists say they may have worked out why the cookie crumbles. Researchers at Loughborough University in central England say the problem may be due to cooking techniques and humidity. This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire grilled chicken, fire roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on the fresh baked baguette. All with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Time for another visit into the far, far, far out frontier of free enterprise. Today, Spaceship Hightower takes you to the cutting edge of avant-garde consumerism, where you're simply not with it unless your wardrobe accessories include the Air Supply Mini-Mate, the Evacuate Smoke Hood, and the Evacu-Shoot Parachute. Survivalist chic has arrived. In these days of code orange alerts, outbreaks of SARS, anthrax scares, the possibility of exploding tennis shoes on your airplane, and goodness knows what other hobgoblins might pop up, well, one simply has to accessorize accordingly. Luckily for the nervous set, there's been a mushrooming of businesses with all sorts of stuff to sell in the burgeoning scare market. For example, are you worried that the guy sitting next to you on your next flight might have SARS? No problem. Just hang a Mini-Mate around your neck and rest easy. It's an air purifier that supposedly kills airborne toxins. Only $145. And I'm sure it'll work as well as hanging a garlic clove around your neck to ward off vampires. Then there's the Evacuate, a plastic smoke hood that promises 15 minutes of protection. No word as to whether you attach it to your head with duct tape. And if that fails, just whip out your Evacuchute, break a window, and leap into the dark night shouting, Geronimo! But if you're really hip to fright, you'll spring for the Tote and Go 72-hour survival kit, which prepares you for, well, whatever. It's got purified water pouches, food rations, sanitation bag, poncho, flashlight, blanket, whistle, hand warmer, radio, and so much more. This is Jim Hightower saying, Franklin Roosevelt calmed a nation by saying, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. George W.'s twist is to say, we have nothing to fear if everyone buys enough fear gear. Maybe it's part of his economic stimulus plan. But if you buy all this stuff, you'll need a mule to haul it.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No, I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Program produced by Catherine Bay, Robin Bittman announces, and the phone number is 800-825-5937. You can email during the program at mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. Are you all as tired as I am tonight? Man, just too much going on this week if you focus on that sort of thing. I sometimes have to remind myself that not everybody does talk radio, and that the 3 hours that we share together each night is just a little bit of your day, not that you share the whole 3 hours. I don't know. I just feel exhausted. Man, so what's the biggest scandal of the week? DeArnold admitting he admires Hitler and likes to molest women. Racist Rush rambling incoherently about his Florida problem. We've got some sound we're going to play for in just a second. That's pretty weird. I think he's trying to confess, but he hard to do. Not until he talks with his attorneys and premier radio networks. David Kaye's inability to locate weapons in Iraq. Huh? The ongoing saga of the CIA's Leakgate. Actually, it's not the CIA's. It's the White House. Leakgate. Leakgate. That's hard to say. We got to come up with a different word. How about Treasongate? That would work. But all of this stuff, it's just, I don't know. It's fatigue. Right? I think tomorrow, if we've had such a gorgeous week here weather-wise in Atlanta, if it holds one more day, I think I'll mow the lawn. I want to mention this one more time. I know I'm driving you all crazy with this, and I do apologize for whatever craziness, but radiopower.org, that's the little independent company run by Shelby LaPrey that got us on iTunes. She has connections with iTunes, and that's how IE America and this show got listed on iTunes and expanded the listener base of this program considerably. She is in the middle of trying to stay on the air, or not the air, but trying to stay on the Internet, and needs a few more contributions. Thank you for the people that contributed. She said, in the last few days, we have raised about 60% of what she needs to keep radiopower.org online. Yeah. And Do or Die Day is Monday because she has to pay some bills related to this or go offline. So if the spirit moves you, and she's not talking about a lot of money. Come on. I mean, this is a few bucks. See, this is a part of being a liberal. It's just grinding, you know? But anyway, if you got 10 bucks, especially if you listen on iTunes, if you're a Mac user or whatever, go to radiopower.org and see what you can do. All right? Okay. I'm going to say, you'll know if she got the money come Monday if you listen through Radio Power. If she's there, she got the money. If not, I am unaware. This is what he said the other day. I'm unaware of any investigation by any authorities involving me. No government representative has contacted me directly or indirectly. If my assistance is required in the future, I will, of course, cooperate fully. So the pig man wasn't aware of an investigation. Okay, as Barkop says, I guess not, since they tend not to tell you, lest you destroy evidence. Now, check out what that statement didn't say. I am unaware of any drug use of any kind. I have never taken any drugs that weren't prescribed by my doctor. I have never purchased illegal drugs, or have I ever asked anyone to purchase illegal drugs for me? Right? That's what wasn't said. Now, posted at my website, MikeMalloy.com, in the comments section, message boards, one of our posters wrote, what do you think he would have said if a news story broke that Tim Robbins, for example, was addicted to pain pills and was acquiring them illegally? The big man would have had a field day. And then Spitfire responded, another poster. My humble reply, I believe our glee is a tad more intense. The feeling we have with Russia's downfall are the same as he would have if it was discovered that Hillary Clinton was having an affair with Ted Kennedy, and it was only revealed after the two were found dead in some sleazy D.C. hotel, OD'd on bad smack. Bill Clinton, upon hearing the news, shot himself in the head after wrestling a gun from one of the Secret Service agents. Spitfire writes, I don't feel guilt for our celebrating Russia's problem. He has created a whole cult following of uninformed people in this country who believe that they are informed by never missing one of his shows. The number of times I heard him in the 90s, new listeners who called in to express their gratitude for his truth-telling, and the way that truth has filtered down throughout our society, well, it's only fitting for him to suffer. Well, you people are cruel. You ought to have some compassion like I do. This is from Doug. Mike, as a Christian, I believe we are all damaged goods and broken humanity. I also believe drug addiction is a medical and psychological condition, not a character defect, as some of Russia's diatribes against black drug users, Hispanic, Latino drug users, would suggest. I added that. Hypocrisy is another matter. And the true sin here. I can't help but notice that those who seem to have had no trouble with Russia's drug use as a choice position through the years now rallying to his support. Aren't these the same folks who have no problem throwing Tommy Chong in the clink for selling bongs? When I see George Will or Bob Novak start writing free Tommy Chong articles and decry the incarceration of thousands of people for drug use, I may then become more charitable to Rush. Yeah, you got to take everything in context, don't you? From Jody, dear Mike, if Karl Rove is taken out, and if Rush is taken off the air, what will the right-wingers do? These two are, a la Star Trek Borg Queens, Rove for the White House, Rush for his right-wing brain-dead listeners. Without Rush and Rove controlling their brains, their hives of followers will become the befuddled, directionless drones they really are, spending the rest of their days continually smashing into walls. Resistance is not futile. That's from Jim. Mark Perkle writes, it would appear Rush Limbaugh has been caught buying hard drugs. It makes me wonder what will happen to him if he's convicted. Will he go to prison like Tommy Chong? Or will he get off easy like what happened when John Ashcroft's nephews were caught dealing pot? And how will Rush explain to his conservative audience that he is addicted to narcotics? And then Michael sent this in. Mike, I have gotten a ton of spam for Vicodin and hydrocodone since this Rush pillball thing broke a couple of days ago. So now Rush has popularized Vicodin and hydrocodone as fun drugs to abuse among the masses. Oh, my God, how will we tell the children? Yeah, well, I don't know. All right. Not being a regular listener to Rush's program for the past 5 or 6 years, I don't know if he was especially drugged up today or if he always sounds this shaky and unclear. I guess it's the topic at hand. Here he tries to offer a weak explanation of the Florida drug deal. This is from the opening comments at his program this morning.
Here's the nub of it at the moment. The story in Florida is, it really is an emerging situation. I watch what's being reported on television, and it changes from, you know, morning to morning, hour to hour, day to day. I don't know what I'm dealing with there, folks. I really don't know the full scope of what I'm dealing with. And when I get all the facts, and when I get all the details of this, rest assured that I will discuss this with you and tell you how it is. Tell you everything there is, maybe more than you want to know about this. You can believe me and trust me on that. I don't want to answer any questions about it now, as I say, until I know exactly what I'm dealing with.
How about 10 to 20 for illegal narcotics? It's an artful speech. Very artful. Of course, this is a guy that spent 2 years of his career mocking Clinton for saying, well, it depends on what the definition of is, right? But when he says, I'll tell you everything is, trust me, maybe more than you want to know about this. Of course, when an addict says, trust me, grab your wallet and, I don't know, just head for a secure bunker. I am not being tough on addicts. I'm being tough on Limbaugh. I had a very unnerving experience several years ago with somebody who was heavily addicted to drugs and alcohol. And I didn't recognize the symptoms. I didn't recognize what was going on. And this was a very close relationship. And I just thought this person was a recreational drug user, somebody who couldn't control alcohol. And finally it occurred to me that I was dealing with somebody who was really, really, really in bad shape. Another friend said, listened to my stories and said, Mike, let me tell you something. My father was an addict, and you've got a full-blown case on your hand now. Here's what you need to do, Mike. First, you need to get into Al-Anon. That's the organization for people who have family members or close friends, intimate relationships where they're dealing with an addict. And my friend said, get into Al-Anon. They will explain to you your position when you're dealing with an addict. You have to detach either from the addiction or from the person. And as a result, you know, I wound up detaching from the person. And she is still, the last I heard, is still just sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into addiction, if she's not now dead. But it's a very frightening thing to see, because the truth is what the addiction specialist will tell you. Someone who is addicted to drugs and or alcohol will let everything else go except the addiction. Their loved ones, their family, food, earning an income, their husband, their wife, their children. Everything goes, becomes secondary to the satisfaction of the addiction. That's horrifying, and it's also very, very true. If Rush Limbaugh, the person, is as addicted as these initial reports would seem to indicate, if he has gone through detox a couple of times, then as a human being, I have to say, I hope he pulls out of it. As somebody whose philosophies and politics I loathe, I couldn't care less what happens to him professionally. But just as a human being, I hope he gets help. But we've got two more sound bites for you when we come back. I think the boy is trying to confess something, and I think he's in a world of trouble.
Thank you. Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
The Tom Hartman Show.
The computerized voting machines in the last election. Our question is the theft of your vote. On our chat room here, Brainshrub points out that H is the eighth letter of the alphabet. A is the first letter of the alphabet. So if you take that 18181, the exact number of votes that three different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes... Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. We were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. 63% of registered voters.
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Truth, justice, and the American way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
24 past the hour. We're not going to focus the whole program tonight on Limbaugh or Schwarzenegger, but we have a little bit more to bring out here about the Limbaugh situation. So either bear with me or go fix a cheese sandwich and come back in a few minutes. One of the two. Remember about a year ago when the big man was slurring his words, and in his now apparent paranoid, Vicodin-addicted state, he tried to claim that the liberal media was deliberately slowing down his broadcast so he'd sound stoned. Remember that? Of course, the only stations probably 80% of the stations, if not all the stations that carry this program, are owned by Clear Channel, which owns Premier Radio Networks, which is the company Rush works for. So go figure. But how does he explain this gobbledygook, especially the part here where he talks about orbs?
I'm a little frustrated that I haven't yet gotten to the bottom of what all this is about, and I'm very much desirous of telling you about this. But until I know exactly what this is, and I don't yet, it just makes no sense to start delving into it. And I don't want to deal with hypotheticals, and I don't want to respond to what's in the press. And I'm very tempted to. I'm not going to even go there, but I want to say, trust me, but I don't look it. It makes no sense for me to go there. I'm not even going to tell you how you ought to, I'm not even going to characterize it yet. Just trust me on this, that when I find out all that this is, that aside from those that are closest to me in my personal and business orb, and you all are very close in the personal orb, then you are going to be among the first to know.
Well, it sounds to me, by the way, that line, I don't want to deal with hypotheticals. What? Sounds like Scott McClellan, who sounds like Ari Fleischer. No, these are not hypotheticals, Rush. This is denial, which is, as you are so fond of saying, is more than a river in Africa. This is very rough for Limbaugh. An addict, especially one as well situated as Rush, someone who is totally enabled. I mean, this guy has more money than you and I will see if we live 10 lifetimes. So there is no question that as far as drugs, hey, he can buy all the drugs in the world. There is absolutely no problem here. If he wanted to, he could, buy a pharmaceutical company, I guess. You know, the guy makes $25 million a year. That's just for doing his program. And no matter how you figure it, that works out to $500,000 a week if he worked like you and I did. But what Limbaugh is facing, aside from his monumental and massive hypocrisy over the years, it's now come back like Marley's ghost to shake its chains right in his face. His hypocrisy, it's stunning. I'm wondering. I've thought about this overnight. I'm wondering if Rush is going to have some sort of epiphany to realize what a bastard. He is. That's part of any 12-step program, isn't it? Going around, can you imagine Rush getting on the program, on his program? What is the asking forgiveness step, Kathy? Is that 8, 10, 9, 6, something? I have a couple of friends who are in AA in Toledo, and one recently called me. This guy goes all the way back to high school. And he said, hey, Mike, I've reached that point where I'm supposed to call everybody up and say I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all those times I got drunk on my ass when we were still in high school. Just occurred to me. All of a sudden, it sounds like I have a lot of friends who are addicts. But anyway, what Rush is going through, aside from his denial, is and aside from the hypocrisy, is the massive realization that his secret is no longer a secret. It just isn't. It's on tapes. It's on wires. It's on recordings. It's out there in the public. And this is where it gets rough for the pig man. So again, do I feel compassion or feel sorry for him? Pity. Pity is what I feel. I haven't yet come to the compassion level. Just pity. This poor bastard has really got some suffering to do before this ends. Ever since the watermelon and the lights come up on the black pit town. The form of talk show host, far and wide his name was known. He said there's no doubt.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, yes it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No. I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
A Bush administration plan to rewrite overtime eligibility rules was dealt another serious blow on Capitol Hill yesterday. After a few dozen Republican lawmakers crossed party lines, the House narrowly voted to oppose changes to the Fair Labor Standards Act, changes that organized labor says would strip a net 8 million American workers of their right to time and a half pay.
The public-private safety net entrusted with protecting workers' pensions is appealing a decision placing 2,500 steel workers under its care. The workers lost their pensions when Republic Technologies went bust last year. A federal judge ruled this week that the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation must pay pensions to all eligible claimants. But the PBGC, currently straining under a deficit measured in billions of dollars, says it has no cash to pay Republic workers, much less the $96 million total they're due.
Riders on the Immigrant Workers Freedom Ride rallied to the defense of laundry workers in Washington, D.C. yesterday. Employees of Sterling Laundry walked out on September 8th for recognition of their union, Unite, and according to organizer Victor Caraballo, the workers hope to clean up an unsafe workplace where dirty laundry represents a health hazard.
It comes in tinted with blood, feces, needles come in, and in this case we have people have told us even the biohazard bags that are supposed to be disposed from these hospitals come in this laundry, and they're the ones that dispose of it.
Freedom Ride organizer Maria Elena Durazo says employers like Sterling take advantage of their workers' undocumented status to squeeze out higher profits.
And that's why we believe we have the right to legalization and family unification and equal rights on the job.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick-dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Australia. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Now, just momentarily, this is the last Rush soundbite, and we're going to move on. The ESPN controversy. Rush gets a wee bit confused here on the dual hypocrisies that he's involved in, illegal narcotics dealing and overt racism. Now, if you listen to the program today, and for the first time in a long time, I listened to the first, half hour, and then 2.5 hours later, just before 3 o'clock, I was coming back from swimming laps and, practically killing myself again like I do every day, and he's still talking about it. So I don't know what transpired in the bulk of his program. He does this little thing that most right-wingers have picked up on in talk radio, and that is what they do on Friday, open line Fridays, right? Oh, hey, it's up to you. But I think all he did today was talk about the ESPN controversy and his racism and his drug addiction and the fact that he doesn't know all the facts yet about what all this drug thing is about. Gee, as soon as I find out. But in this soundbite, he asked to be thrown in jail. Now, anybody in their right mind knows that his faux pas, his racism, is not a jailable offense. It doesn't necessarily come under the purview of free speech. It comes under the definition of hate speech. And I guess we are allowed to say hateful things in this society. Hell, listen to this program every night. But in this one, in this soundbite where he starts to confuse the two, they start to bleed together and he asks to be put in jail. There's part of Rush that's crying out for help. And that's the part that I'm probably going to totally ignore. But here it is.
Now, the ESPN thing. Look it.
I know I'm right about this. I'm not going to retract anything. I'm not going to back off of there. Is absolutely not yet in this country is there anything to apologize for in expressing an opinion. I meant everything I said, thought about it the night before, intended to say it. Very proud that I said, think it's right. So throw me in jail. So fire me. I mean, that's what people have wanted to do. That's what people are applauding today. Fine.
No, it's not about your statements on ESPN Rush about going to jail or losing your job with Premier. That has to do with your drug dealing. That has to do with grinding on your housekeeper to provide you with illegal narcotics. So try not to confuse the two. Now, what Rush did today, Kathy and I talked last night. How in the hell is he going to go on the air? Kathy said, he's not going to come on Friday. Or did I say that? One of us said it. And the other one said, no, he'll be there. He has to be there today. So we were curious as to how he was going to handle this. He can't come on and say, look, my attorneys have told me not to say anything about this. You know, he can't do that. He can't confess. He can't own up to anything. He's got to skate around it. Rush Limbaugh is the skating expert. Rush Limbaugh knows how to take a truth and turn it so many ways it becomes a corkscrew. He also knows how to take a lie and turn it so many ways it becomes straight as a nail. He's very good at this. But one thing Rush knows about his audience, or two things he knows, among others. But here's two things he knows about his audience. Essentially, they are racist. Now, some of his overt racism, like the Klan white-sheeted neo-Nazis here in the South, and some in the North, and a lot of it is the kind of racism you find in other parts of the country. It's you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge kind of racism that we don't really talk about, but we know damn good and well it's there, don't we? Hear about the Negro moving down the street? Oh, Jesus, well, let's move. You know, he knows his audience are racist to begin with. He also knows they don't like drugs. So what does he do? He's got two scandals. One involving a charge of racism. The other involving a charge of drug addiction and drug dealing. Which one is he going to focus on? And this, obviously, you know the answer to this. By focusing on the charges against him, he was a racist. And I frankly don't necessarily think the statement he made was racist. I think it was an asinine statement, and it shows, it displays Russia's racism. But I don't think the statement, the comments he made on ESPN necessarily were classically racist, okay? There is a difference. But he knows his audience is dumber than pig droppings. He knows he can manipulate them. So what better thing to do today than to come out and do what George Bush and the rest of these thugs have done, like Saddam and 9-1-1? You blend the two. Blend them. And then let one surface. In the case of the Bush administration, it's Saddam. In the case of Rush, it is the charge against him that he is a racist. So, Rush, if nothing else, he knows how to manipulate. He's like Hitler or Goebbels in that respect. He knows exactly how to manipulate his audience. I mean, my God, his audience refer to themselves as ditto heads. Hello? So throw me in jail, so fire me. That's what people have wanted to do. That's what people are applauding today. Fine. God. It's leaving the area of for me anyway, leaving the area of gleeful schadenfreude and entering the arena of you poor, piteous bastard. You poor, piteous bastard. You don't know what you're facing, Mr. Limbaugh. You don't know what you're facing. Byron Pitts, who is CBS correspondent, says this latest controversy could do real harm to Limbaugh's image and his career. Limbaugh, according to Pitts, once said the government should, quote, send the people who want to do drugs to London and Zurich and let's be rid of them. And I think that's the essential problem that I have with this guy. When somebody else's ass is in the fire pit, Rush has about as much compassion as I have affinity for neo-Nazis. And he knows his audience has no compassion either. Somebody posted on my website this. Oh, it was a transcript. Broken Arrow, Oklahoma bureau chief posted this, Nelson. He's also one of the moderators at my website. Rush said this: there's a real deep bond of loyalty that you and I have for each other. And I've described the relationship that we have here as familial. We're like a giant family. Over the 15 years of this program, that's what we've become. We have become like a giant family, and we all sometimes celebrate the identical things without having to talk to each other. We do with other instances. I don't know what that means. We know when the red flags go up without having to communicate each other. It really is a unique relationship that has evolved on this program. Obviously a pitch for understanding. Well, Rush is, what he's trying to say here is, look, you folks are in for a shock. You're going to find out that I'm a junkie. You're going to find out that I have been doing the very things that I have mocked and denigrated over the years of my program. I have mocked people who become addicts. I have denigrated them. I've suggested they go to prison or go to London or go to Zurich or some such nonsense. But now it's happened to me. And you're my family. Oh, don't desert me now. You're my family. This guy is begging. He is on his rotund knees begging for understanding from his vast 20 million strong, so they say, family. Please don't fail me. Please don't fail me. I'm a junkie. I'm an addict. I don't know what I'm going to do about it. Just give me some pills. Let me be high. Let me just kind of float here in this little blue cloud that I love to float in. Please don't desert me. We're family. We're family. We're family. He also said, as I say, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the notes and all of the expressions of support you've been sending me. It means everything to me, as has your support over these many years, and nothing has changed in that regard. I've often said throughout the 15 years that I've been here that you people have made my life an adult Christmas every day. Every morning is an adult Christmas, and it's still the same, especially when I'm stoned and high and lying. No, I added that part. Still got up today. Couldn't wait to get in here. Couldn't wait to start the routine. Couldn't wait to start the show prep. I'm a little frustrated that I haven't yet gotten to the bottom of what this is all about, and I'm very much desirous of telling you about this, but until I know exactly what this is, it just makes no sense to start delving into it. I don't want to deal in hypotheticals, and I don't want to respond to what's in the press. The man is trying to tell. See, if he had an audience, for example, like the audience that listens to this program, if I came on this program and said something like this, you people would figure it out in half a heartbeat. Hey, Malloy's trying to confess. Jesus. But his audience are stupid. They are ignorant people. All of them. Every single one of them. So Russ turns this into an attack on his freedom of speech. Rush turns it into, hey, we're family. We're family. They're attacking the Limbaugh family here. I don't know until I get the bottom. I don't know what to add. Somebody, what? What? Translation to all this? Again, from Nelson, my Broken Arrow, Oklahoma bureau chief. The translation, my lawyers told me to shut up while they work a deal with the local prosecutors and the premier radio networks. And that's certainly understandable. Have you been to thesmokinggun.com and look at the two people who were busted? The two people, Louis Bechara and his wife, Gloria Rodriguez, the Florida couple who are at the heart of this drug scandal that is enveloping Limbaugh. According to what's posted at The Smoking Gun, which is one of the most valid websites out there, investigators allege that these two people, and if you want to see a couple of really freaky-looking people, go to smokinggun.com, pops up right on the main page. Investigators allege that these two illegally sold hundreds of thousands of prescription painkillers from a Palm Beach area pharmacy they owned. Eh? According to a Palm Beach County Sheriff's search warrant affidavit, and by the way, all these affidavits are at thesmokinggun.com. You can go read them. The guy, Bechara, provided hydrocodone to middlemen drug dealers like Joseph Coppola, who then resold the pills to users. It has been reported that Limbaugh scored some of the Bishara pills via Wilma Klein, a former maid at the Radio Star's West Palm Beach mansion. Bishara and Rodriguez, who each face two felony drug trafficking charges, are free on bail. Bishara, the husband here, is under house arrest. House arrest? Okay. Now, why did Tommy Chong go to jail? Oh, that's right. Selling paraphernalia over the internet. Ah, oh, yeah, almost forgot. Electro Princess, another one of our mods at my website, posted today, narcotic addiction is almost impossible to break without true social support and the addict's acceptance that they are, in fact, an addict. Rush, Electro Princess writes, is too damn arrogant to ever humble himself in this matter. Also, it's doubtful that Rush will ever, quote, hit bottom, close quote, since he'll always have some sort of access to these drugs, i.e. his money. But rest assured, he will die before his time from some health-related illness to such abuse. Anyone who understands addiction knows that Electro Princess knows what she's talking about here. This kind of addiction, it is like having one of your legs in the jaws of a Nile River crocodile. One of those big suckers. One of those ones that weigh 1,800 pounds. From one human being to another, I hope Limbaugh, I hope he conquers the addiction. I hope in the process he loses his job. Because he has been a vile, negative, lying force on the airwaves in this country for the better part of his 14 or 15 years on the air. He has done more to spread dissent, ignorance, stupidity, lies than any human being I can think of, with the possible exception, not even Joseph Goebbels. Goebbels' audience wasn't as big as Limbaugh's. As a human being, I hope he survives his addiction. As a radio commentator or talk show host, wherever the hell he is, I hope he's out of there. I hope premier radio networks go, uh-oh, time to cut our losses. Goodbye, Mr. Limbaugh. He's got millions stashed, not to worry about Limbaugh's financial future. But the damage this sucker has done in the political dialogue in this country, in the political arena, in the social arena, the amount of ill will he has sowed coast to coast, border to border, across the fruited plain, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week for the past 15 years. It's karma, Rush. It's balance. It's your hypocrisy come back to eat your ass alive. I hope you survive the addiction. Gordon is calling, one of our over-the-road truckers, driving in Toledo, Ohio. That's my hometown, dude.
Yes, sir. I'm going around it right now. I'm not going through it. I'm going around it.
That's the best thing to do in Toledo. Go around it.
See, I had a comment about the groper and the doper here.
The groper and the doper? Okay.
I got to believe that they got up this morning. They are both so self-centered. But they both got up this morning, picked up the newspaper, and went, I'm sure Arnold said, boy, I sure am glad I'm not Rush, and I'll bet you that, I'll bet you that Rush said the same thing. Boy, I sure am glad I'm not Arnold.
That's funny. That is funny.
But all these years with Rush, I mean, maybe now we know where he's coming from here, if he's on the air. I mean, He may have been disillusioned here for quite some time.
Uh-huh. Well, I said earlier, his audience, being so-called conservatives, they're not conservatives, they're followers, but being conservatives of the stripe that they are, they hate drug addiction, unless it's their wife or their husband who becomes an addict, or their little Bobby or their little Susie who becomes an addict, then all of a sudden they learn compassion. But they hate drug addiction. So, the only thing they can do here, if Limbaugh spins this where, hey, we're family, don't abandon me now, the attitude is going to be, oh, poor Rush, we're going to have to surround him with love. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
I can't take credit for the groper and doper. Your friend Nancy Skinner is the one that said it this morning.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Bless her heart.
She came up with that.
Hey, Gordon, be careful as you're driving around Toledo. That city will suck you in and you'll never be seen again, all right?
All right. right. Thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you, sir. Take care and drive safely.
In high places, they've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, talks to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, talks to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network. Network.
Here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
About five before the hour. We, as you know, we have a break coming up here. Then we'll take your phone calls. If you're on hold, please stay. I want to share with you a couple of emails here in this last segment. Then we'll get on to your calls. From Greg, Limbaugh needs to contact Bill Clinton. Maybe Bill can give Limbaugh some advice on dealing with the slime that tried to crucify him for 8 years. Yeah. Shelley, Mike, hello, Mike. As a therapist, the alcohol and other drug issues fall squarely in my area of expertise. People who abuse painkillers are self-medicating to relieve some form of distress. I've listened to Limbaugh. Therefore, his self-medicating behavior, if true, does not surprise me. His grandiosity is pronounced. He sounds narcissistic, and narcissists rarely seek help or admit wrongdoing. They frequently lie. Mr. Limbaugh either puts on one hell of an act, or he needs some assistance in coping with his personal difficulties. Yeah, I'm not a therapist. I would hate to get into that area of evaluation, but Shelley's right. From Larry in Pennsylvania, Mike, let's face it, progressives like us know that human beings have their weaknesses, and we acknowledge it. We don't drop to our knees and beg forgiveness from our God-appointed associates every time we drop the ball. People like Rush are priests who keep saying to themselves that biological urges are only for unruly primates and not for men of sophistication like them. It's about time that these self-proclaimed prophets give it up and admit that their mental prowess has not overcome human vices. Hey, Rush, quit preaching to us about conservative virtues and values and come on over. We'll give you a hand. Okay, maybe you will, Larry. from Shirley, Mike, I was not going to send this, but I expect from Rush a cross between George Bush and his Finding Religion and Jimmy Swaggart. I saw both. He has enough money to buy himself out in the same way that Bush has, and he makes so much money for the networks and his radio sponsors that they, too, will help him out of this. I would imagine he is concentrating on his new act. The world is not equal when it comes to right-wingers and the rest of us. No, that's true. That's true. I've at the Atrios weblog, there's all kinds of quotes here, and I'm not going to get into them, of Limbaugh talking about other people who had drug problems over the past 10 years. And some of his comments were just vicious. I mean, just vile. Directed at other people. Maybe after we take some phone calls, I might drop a few of these in. But I guess that's the part that, you know, got me so freaked out last night. You know, his hypocrisy, his willingness to kick somebody else, stomp on somebody else's face, who is dealing with human frailty. But when it comes his turn, oh, hey, we're all family. Save my ass. Save my ass.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
A New York Times CBS News poll has found the public's confidence in President Bush's ability to deal wisely with an international crisis has slid sharply over the past 5 months. 45% of Americans now have confidence in Mr. Bush's ability to deal wisely with an international crisis, down from 66% in April, and half now say they are uneasy about his approach. Just 40% of voters expressed confidence in Mr. Bush's ability to make the right decisions about the economy, down from half in April, while 56% said they were uneasy, up from 42% in April. Bush administration's chief investigator formally told Congress yesterday, after searching for nearly 6 months, that U.S. forces and CIA experts have found no chemical or biological weapons in Iraq and have determined that Iraq's nuclear program was in only the very most rudimentary state. Before the war, the administration said Iraq had a well-developed nuclear program that presented a threat to the United States. Now, it clearly does not look like a massive resurgent program based on what we discovered, said former U.N. Weapons Inspector David Kay, who heads the government search, yesterday after briefing House and Senate intelligence committees in a closed session on his interim report. The investigation into the leak of a CIA officer's name is likely to expand to other Bush administration agencies, including the State and Defense Department's officials, said Thursday. A senior Justice Department official, speaking on condition of anonymity, said those agencies and possibly others could get letters urging officials to preserve documents such as phone logs and not to delete emails. ABC News obtained a copy of an unpublished book proposal with quotes from a verbatim transcript of an interview Schwarzenegger gave in 1975 while making the film Pumping Iron. Asked who his heroes are, he answered, "I admired Hitler, for instance, because he came from being a little man with almost no formal education up to power. I admire him for being such a good public speaker and for what he did with it." He is quoted as saying he wished he could have an experience like Hitler in the Nuremberg Stadium and have all those people scream at you and just be in total agreement with whatever you say. Schwarzenegger may be battling yet another opponent, the California Women's Law Center, who will be holding a press conference outside of his campaign's bus tour. They will be demanding that the district attorney investigate claims of sexual battery by the candidate, that regardless of the statute of limitations, if a crime has been committed, it should be investigated.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NATPARK. That's just too much to lose.
1 in 10 Britons believe the Mona Lisa was painted by Vincent van Gogh, according to a survey published on Thursday. Over 2/5 of those polled admitted they never visited any of Britain's art galleries. This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Time for another visit into the far, far, far-out frontier of free enterprise. Today, Spaceship Hightower takes you to the cutting edge of avant-garde consumerism, where you're simply not with it unless your wardrobe accessories include the Air Supply Mini-Mate, the Evacuate Smoke Hood, and the Evacu-Shoot Parachute. Survivalist chic has arrived. In these days of code orange alerts, outbreaks of SARS, anthrax scares, the possibility of exploding tennis shoes on your airplane, and goodness knows what other hobgoblins might pop up, well, one simply has to accessorize accordingly. Luckily for the nervous set, there's been a mushrooming of businesses with all sorts of stuff to sell in the burgeoning scare market. For example, are you worried that the guy sitting next to you on your next flight might have SARS? No problem. Just hang a Mini-Mate around your neck and rest easy. It's an air purifier
that supposedly kills airborne toxins. Only $145. And I'm sure it'll work as well as hanging a garlic clove around your neck to ward off vampires. Then there's the Evacuate, a plastic smoke hood that promises 15 minutes of protection. No word as to whether you attach it to your head with duct tape. And if that fails, just whip out your Evacuchute, break a window, and leap into the dark night shouting, Geronimo! But if you're really hip to fright, you'll spring for the Tote and Go 72-Hour Survival Kit, which prepares you for, well, whatever. It's got purified water pouches, food rations, sanitation bag, poncho, flashlight, blanket, whistle, hand warmer, radio, and so much more. This is Jim Hightower saying, Franklin Roosevelt calmed a nation by saying, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. George W.'s twist is to say, we have nothing to fear if everyone buys enough fear gear. Maybe it's part of his economic stimulus plan. But if you buy all this stuff, you'll need a mule to haul it.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Okay, I've got some more stuff here, but some of you folks have been holding on way too long. King David is calling our Woodstock Nation Bureau Chief. Hey, David.
Hey, how's everything going on in Atlanta?
Great. I can't, no complaints. The weather's been great. Fall is here. Sky is blue. All of our air pollution is blown away. It's really been just a delightful week in Atlanta.
Okay. Well, all right. I won't bring up the Braves-Cubs game then.
Oh, you know, I'm not following a pro ball anymore. I don't know why. I don't know. I've just kind of, maybe it's the codeine.
Yeah, here we go again, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought Olbermann had a rather interesting take on it. Did you hear what he said at the beginning of his show tonight?
I missed his program tonight, damn it.
Essentially, what Rush is doing is what he used to do at ESPN. Something goes snafu, blame Chris Berman.
Who is that?
Chris Berman was the anchor on the program that Limbaugh was on.
Oh, the ESPN. See, I'm very illiterate when it comes to sports programs, David. I know nothing.
Okay.
I know nothing.
No problem. I don't blame you.
Yeah. Well,
I've seen some of the sports programs. I don't blame you in the least.
Yeah, I tend to think that sports programs, sports talk radio, the sports talk television shows is just, I'm sorry, I don't offend any sports fans here, but to me, it's just a mindless drivel. Maybe that's because, I played football, I played baseball when I was in high school, mm-hmm. I played sports, I thoroughly enjoyed it, I really did, but I there's something about seeing, three or four guys sitting around, ex-jocks, a couple of black guys, a couple of white guys sitting around. And sports talk radio to me is just the pits. There's nothing worse than sports talk radio. But anyway. Now, compassion for Rush.
Yes. I saw Carville on Crossfire yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, saying that, you know, we should have compassion for him. And to be honest about it, yes, that's certainly proving that you're not sinking to the level
mm-hmm.
of Rush Limbaugh.
Right.
You know, the thing is that for me to feel any compassion,
mm-hmm.
he's going to have to do a couple of things first. And now, his salary for the first 3 years of doing his radio show easily fits many times within a single year salary of what he's getting today, right?
Oh, yeah. He's signed a quarter of $1 billion contract, a 10-year, I believe it was 10-year, a contract with Premier Radio Networks, $25 million a year. Jesus, I can't even imagine that sum of money.
And as a matter of fact, you know why he demanded that much out of Clear Channel?
I don't have a clue.
Because ABC paid Paul Harvey.
Ah.
Something that was really huge, and it was above and beyond what he was getting.
At the time.
At the time.
Yeah, so yeah. He wanted to be king of the hill.
And what Limbaugh is going to have to do is take two amounts equal to his salary for the first 3 years of his program.
Yeah.
And present the individual checks to a Washington, D.C. homeless shelter for all of those jokes that he's told about Mitch Snyder's suicide.
Yeah, I remember that. Oh, my God.
And present the other check to the Dukakis family for all those jokes that he was telling about Kitty's alcoholism.
Yeah. And what about John McCain's wife?
I left before I heard anything about McCain.
Now, who said that? Carville said this?
And Carville said that.
Okay, I didn't know you were quoting Carville. I would add.
No. The conditions are mine.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, Carville said we should be feeling compassion towards him, for me to feel any compassion towards him, that's what he's going to have to do. And then I will say, okay, I can forgive you. Go and sin no more.
Right. Right.
And
yeah.
Of course, you notice I'm continuing to exhale.
Yeah, yeah, right. What you say makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
The problem here, if Rush Limbaugh were just let me rephrase that. If somebody high up in media, who was a commentator or an anchor, or if we found out, for example, that Dan Rather had a drug problem, I think we would all feel compassion for Dan Rather. Even if we found out who's the jerk on Fox News, the guy, the executive editor there, the guy that has the Sunday show, Brit Hume. If we found out that Brit Hume had a drug problem, I think maybe we would say, oh, look, I really hope he gets over this. He conquers this. He's got a hell of a road to go down in order. But this is Limbaugh, who has used his position for the past 10 years to denigrate, to assassinate, to attack, to belittle, to horrifyingly degrade other human beings whose only sin was that they came across Rush Limbaugh's radar scope. And he could say, well, look at this moral failure. Well, look at this scum, and a decade of that, dumping his filth into this country, on the airwaves, on 600 radio stations, to the point where you have this vast ocean of ditto heads out there who wouldn't know the truth if it came up and bit them on the ass. And for that, to me, that is unforgivable. There has to, for me, there has to be a much greater power than I to forgive that kind of dirty trick played on this entire country. Like I said earlier, he has done more to sow distrust, dissent, destruction of our political system, the shredding of our social contract than any human being I can think of in the history of this nation. And for that, by God, he there should be a penalty. If the penalty comes through his addiction, if the penalty comes where he is ordered by a court to go into drug rehab like Jeb Bush's daughter did, if it comes that way, then by God, bring it on.
I don't know if you realize it, but you just paraphrased Joseph Welch.
Oh, really?
Your forgiveness is going to have to come from a power
greater than I. Yeah, yeah.
And that's my final point.
That was the statement made to Joe McCarthy.
To Joe McCarthy at the Army McCarthy hearings. And the thing is, we've seen this movie before.
Yes, we have.
And the thing is, how did Joe McCarthy go out? First, when he noticed that the wheels were coming off of his...
Well, he had a heart attack. Didn't he? Didn't he die of a heart attack? He didn't commit suicide. He died of a heart attack, I think.
No. When the end came in his power, he began to blame things on Roy Cohn.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
And then he drank himself to death.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. Well,
and I think Limbaugh could very well be going down the same path. Unfortunately, you know, regardless of how contemptuously I see this individual, I got to admit that he seems to be finally playing out this Shakespearean tragedy in front of the entire world.
Well, it's going to be up to the courts to drug rehab or whatever. I guess the courts. I don't know if it is a crime to purchase illicit drugs, pharmaceutical drugs. I assume it is. Okay, Kathy is waving her arms, saying, "Yes, it is." But if that is the case, then it's going to be up to the courts, because the court of public opinion that matters to Limbaugh will support him. Somehow they'll blame Hillary Clinton for this. Somehow Hillary Clinton got to his housekeeper and forced the housekeeper to force Rush to take pills. This will be a variation of that argument would be made by the right winger. Somehow this is a Clinton. This is a Clinton thing, right? I know, it's crazy.
You know, this is so insane, but then again, you know, so is the fact that people are still listening to Tammy Faye Messner.
Well, that's true too.
You know, your King Crimson request is going on tomorrow. I'll send you a tape.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Okay.
All right, take care, King David.
See you later.
All right, sir, appreciate it. On his radio show, he played some really excellent music last week. Sent me an email and sent me the playlist. I can't hear his program. He said, "You got any suggestions?" I said, "Yeah, do something from King Crimson." This is from Mad About Harry. "Hi, Mike. I agree with your analysis. Russia's poisoned the political climate in this country." John Dean wrote in Salon that Nixon couldn't compete with the current occupants of the White House. "I really believe that Rush played a major role in setting this tone, paving the way for the impeachment atrocity and the firing of progressives from the airwaves. He pimped for Bush during the 2000 election, even filling in the long blanks for Bush during interviews with him on his program. Just an aside, I recall driving with my late father over 15 years ago when Rush was only on a local New York station. We had never heard of him before, and after maybe 5 minutes, my dad turned to me and said, 'This guy is full of, stuff.' I really miss my dad." Mad About Harry. Nancy in East Tennessee. "My predictions for next week are, 1, the petition to recall Governor Groper Gangbang will begin on Wednesday." What is the vote on Tuesday? Right. 2, Robert Novak will name his sources, at which time John Ashcroft will immediately arrest Bill and Hillary and charge them with treason. 3, Rush Limbaugh's housekeeper will be arrested and charged with embezzling his funds and slipping him pills without his knowledge. "I'm no longer surprised by anything the GOP does." GOP means gangsters on parade, Nancy says. "But I do so enjoy the unraveling of these hypocritical bastards who claim so-called family values and beat us all over the head with so-called character counts. And no, I don't feel any discomfort with their discomfort. I kind of like it." Well, I can relate to that. Hey, here's our buddy Pete from Lakeland.
Oh,
long time no hear, dude.
Hey. I've been missing you.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, man, that love fest you just had with Rush. Hey, I'm chewing out Republicans. They know that I'm gleeful over this.
Yeah.
I says, I can't be happier. And I'd like to cover these three subjects with you. Rush on ESPN, the drugs, and Arnold real quick, because they'll be classics.
Go ahead.
Let me tell you with the Republicans. First of all, I said, the reason I'm so gleeful is Rush is worth $32 million a year. That's what the last I heard. You were talking 25.
Is it 32?
Right wing radio.
Well, with all his advertising deals, right. $32
million. And he's the hero to the stupid and ill-informed.
Mm-hmm.
General Electric, Halliburton, the corporate gods. Don't let this guy go.
Can you hold it right there, Pete?
Sure.
All right. Let me put you on hold. I'll come back. Quick break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Everybody's out there looking for a new pill to make. Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Hmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire grilled chicken, fire roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on a fresh baked baguette. All with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Time for another visit into the far, far, far out frontier of free enterprise. Today, Spaceship Hightower takes you to the cutting edge of avant-garde consumerism, where you're simply not with it unless your wardrobe accessories include the Air Supply Mini-Mate, the Evacuate Smoke Hood, and the Evacu-Chute Parachute. Survivalist chic has arrived. In these days of code orange alerts, outbreaks of SARS, anthrax scares, the possibility of exploding tennis shoes on your airplane, and goodness knows what other hobgoblins might pop up, well, one simply has to accessorize accordingly. Luckily for the nervous set, there's been a mushrooming of businesses with all sorts of stuff to sell in the burgeoning scare market. For example, are you worried that the guy sitting next to you on your next flight might have SARS? No problem. Just hang a Mini-Mate around your neck and rest easy. It's an air purifier that supposedly kills airborne toxins. Only $145. And I'm sure it'll work as well as hanging a garlic clove around your neck to ward off vampires. Then there's the Evacuate, a plastic smoke hood that promises 15 minutes of protection. No word as to whether you attach it to your head with duct tape. And if that fails, just whip out your Evacu-Chute, break a window, and leap into the dark night shouting, Geronimo! But if you're really hip to fright, you'll spring for the Tote and Go 72-Hour Survival Kit, which prepares you for, well, whatever. It's got purified water pouches, food rations, sanitation bag, poncho, flashlight, blanket, whistle, hand warmer, radio, and so much more. This is Jim Hightower saying, Franklin Roosevelt calmed a nation by saying, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. George W.'s twist is to say, we have nothing to fear if everyone buys enough fear gear. Maybe it's part of his economic stimulus plan. But if you buy all this stuff, you'll need a mule to haul it.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. We're talking with Pete in Lakeland, Florida. Okay, we were at $32 million is what Limbo makes.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And like I said, the first thing I'm so gleeful about is when he screwed up. I knew it was going to happen. Everybody knew it was going to happen. The only guy who didn't know it, and he's the one who should be fired, is the guy who hired him.
Mm.
I mean, this is a rich white guy who's a ditto head himself,
right,
who's clueless. He hires him because I think he's trying to pull away NASCAR fans to the ESPN pregame. So that's what they were. They couldn't hire David Duke because of the sheet and everything. So they had to get, and I'm a NASCAR fan, so I had to get Rush, okay?
Yeah.
So this guy should be the one fired. And Donovan McNabb put the nail in the coffin when he did his news conference and said, hey, what are the black kids thinking? What is the rest of America thinking? Right there, Ditto Head all of a sudden got his hands caught in a cookie jar, and they had to panic.
Mm-hmm.
Until Donovan said it that way, ESPN was clean. They weren't going to dump him.
Right.
But I'm gleeful over the drug thing. I really am.
Mm-hmm.
Rush is a truly evil bastard who loves kicking people when they're down. Minorities, sports figures, and anybody who has a drug problem.
Yeah.
Get rid of them. Fire them. Throw them in jail.
Yeah.
Well, Rush is the first guy that wants to do this. Now, you think about it. He knows he's going to walk. He's already hired Roy Black.
Mm-hmm.
What are pills? They're felonies. If he's a black kid who's 19 years old,
he's going to prison.
Right now, he's in the Palm Beach jail.
That's right.
Right now, he's looking at a DA who says, okay, you cut a deal with me, you get 5 years in Stark.
Right.
Rush will never see this.
Right.
He'll never see. And the thing is, what he's going to do for the war on drugs is the same thing OJ did for jury trials.
Yeah.
Now, we get even better. My favorite thing of all, though, has got to be Arnold. Now, maybe you can help some of your audience. Ralph Reed. Now, this guy's a little pimp for the Christian Coalition.
Oh, don't you just want to whip his ass?
What are they paying him? See, Enron paid him, I don't know if it was $50,000 or $70,000 a year to be on retainer for doing nothing.
I think it was more than that.
Yeah, but then again, too, the Christian Coalition supported Bush to knock out McCain.
Right.
So he had that.
Right.
Now think about it. Ralph Reed, Jerry Falwell, and Pat Robertson. The stuff that's been going on for Arnold for the last week. I mean, 2 weeks ago, it was pot and orgies, okay? If I was single, the orgies right. good, the pot's fine right now.
Right.
Now, to think about it, pro-choice. This guy's a pro-choice Republican.
Right.
He's for gay rights.
Right.
What are they paying? Oh, wait, and then he's groping women?
Yeah.
What will the children say? Now, what is the right wing? I mean, they have to be paying off. I mean, Halliburton's got to be writing big checks. Jerry Falwell, because he chases ambulances like this, anything with sex, you know,
right.
It's like. And then you got Pat Robertson, you know, he's praying for Orlando because they have gay days. And now the Republican Party's actually backing this guy. And it's the musclemen, the heavyweights. They got Dreyer, who's one of the top dogs in the Republican Party, holding Arnold's hand, you know, just wondering, okay, Arnold, what did you do today? You didn't gangbang them twin babysitters from 3 years ago, did you? They're not going to talk. All these Republicans are thinking this. Okay, it's only pot. You didn't have coke. You weren't doing anything out. No orgies in the last month.
Right.
And now we got the Hitler thing. Now think about this. This is the religious right, and they're all standing on their hands thinking, they don't say a word.
Right. Isn't I mean, how do you process that if you are a thinking American, like you obviously are? How do you process all of this? I noticed that the other night. I saw Ralph Reed on Press and Buchanan. And there he sat, this smarmy little bastard who also has an especially hot spot in hell reserved for him, but defending all of this stuff. And I it's just astonishing.
And what I'm pointing out to the fanatics that I know, and you got to do it very tactfully.
Uh-huh.
But what I do is I use an analogy. You know those stories that Rush used to tell you about the Democratic Party paying the black preachers to come out and vote?
Right.
He says, you remember those stories? Oh, yeah, I've heard one or two of those stories. I said,
well, here we are.
I said, this is what's happening right now. I said, now, if it was your daughter or your grandson that got caught with these pills, what would happen?
Hey, let me put you on hold one more time. We'll come back because I know you haven't reached the wrap-up yet. All right, quick break. We'll be right back. And your phone call. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You're kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Running short on fresh water could become an increasingly dangerous place. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. No modern nations have gone to war solely over water, but scarce supplies have been the source of plenty of conflict, according to Peter Glick, president of the Pacific Institute in Oakland, California.
We're seeing, and we have seen for many, many years, violence over allocations of water, over water scarcity. And my concern is that we're going to see an increasing risk of violence, not necessarily wars, but violence over water resources.
Glick is the author of a biennial report on the world's water. He says the most troubling hotspot is the Middle East, with tension growing over the Jordan and the Tigris and Euphrates rivers.
The Tigris and the Euphrates especially is of concern now, in part because it's shared by Turkey and Syria and Iraq, but also in part because water is very scarce, and Turkey, the upstream nation, is building a series of projects that are going to cut and are already cutting flows to the downstream nations of Syria and Iraq.
Glick says that could mean more trouble in the region. He says some Middle Eastern countries have made progress on cooperation, but most have not.
There is a peace treaty between Israel and Jordan that provides a framework for reducing the risks of conflicts over the Jordan River. But the other nations, Syria and Lebanon and the Palestinians in the West Bank, are not parties to that treaty yet either. And there has never been a treaty over the Tigris and the Euphrates. And I'm quite worried about the risk of tensions over allocations of those rivers.
Glick says Africa's Nile River is another potential trouble spot. Sudan and Egypt signed a treaty over the Nile in 1959, but eight other nations that share the river have no such agreements. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
And that the message of our parents must be unequivocal. Don't use drugs.
One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small. And the ones that mother gives you don't do anything at all.
How about the ones you get from your housekeeper, huh? They do something. All right, Pete in Lakeland, Florida. Go ahead, wrap it up for me, pal.
Oh, I was just thinking, you know, the Republican Party, I mean the religious right, what will the children say? They're like a rock band. You got Bill Bennett. He's got a gambling problem. You got Rush Limbaugh. He's in drug treatment. You got Joe Scarborough. You got a dead girl. You got a drunk driver or senator coming. It goes on and on. You got Newt Gingrich, a philanderer.
Yeah, I know. If we point out the hypocrisy like we progressives or liberals try to do, we're being negative. We're being dark. We're being we're being morose. We're all about the hate. You know, sometimes I just want to scream. I just want to pull my own hair out.
Well, hey, Mike. But we win every argument. I mean, even I don't care the hardcore Republican business or the redneck Republican. Mm-hmm. You just talk to them about Rush and these pills. Even the rednecks know, hey, Florida just, we're broke and we just found $60 million for new prisons, okay?
Yeah.
Even the rednecks in Florida know what this state's about in growth industry.
That's right.
Now, you tell them, and honest to God, and I know I've said it before, you know, if you yourself your son, your cousin, your nephew got caught with this many pills, we would be in jail. They'd be throwing the key away. I said, but in reality, do you believe Russia's going to go to jail? No, none of them believe. I mean, so they know how bad the system's broken, how it's fixed.
Do you ask the obvious follow-up question, why?
Well,
you know, do you think Russia's going to go to jail? Well, no, he's not going to jail. Why?
Well, no, and it's not why, because he's got money. He's got millions of dollars.
Right.
I mean, white guys know that the drug war is fixed.
Sure.
Black guys know that it's – the politicians know it's fixed.
Sure.
That's who we're filling in these prisons. But I do think that that idea that I sent over to your producer would be great, because I'll tell you right now, he'd be happy as hell. There are no liberal programs in the Florida prison system. There are no liberals at all. And the guards are all ditto heads.
Right, right.
Every one of the guards would love to hear your show. But I'll tell you, and then you can talk black quarterbacks with the rest of the bros.
Yeah, you could, couldn't you?
I mean, but, hey, you take care.
All right, thanks, Pete. Thanks, Pete. Good to hear from you. Good to hear what you have to say. Yeah. Zachary is calling from San Diego. Hey, Zachary.
Hey, Mike, what's up?
You are.
Well, I heard you were talking about your forum, reciting lines from your forum.
Yeah, what people had posted there, right.
Yeah, and someone, you've already stole thunder from this joke here, but someone named Liberal Media Conspiracy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they posted a response to someone talking about Rush Limbaugh right when it was happening. He said, how are you going to spin this one?
Mm-hmm.
Someone on the board. And it was right when the pill popping thing came out. And at the bottom, he put, is it Clinton's fault yet?
Yeah, right.
And,
Let me ask you something, Zachary. Now, when you called in the other night, you're 17 or you're 15? Which?
16.
Okay. Well, it had to be one of the three.
Yeah.
Okay. You're 16. What do you think? I'm looking for the 16-year-old opinion here, okay? What does a 16-year-old young man think when this story comes out? Rush Limbaugh, thousands of pills, illegal pharmaceutical drug ring operating in Florida. Limbaugh, obviously addicted. What? I forget what it's like to be 16. What do you think?
Well, I'm always around. I don't do much drugs myself. I don't do any drugs myself, but I'm always around people who do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they're always listening to these people telling them not to do any for reasons that they don't really care about. And I know he's always been an advocate, and it just shows the hypocrisy of these
these
adults. And I know the kids will always want to rebel. This just gives them, a lot of my friends who do drugs, a lot of a reason just to do them.
So this is like, well, if Rush Limbaugh...
Yeah.
Can
someone
do it,
who's an advocate,
and somebody's going to rag on me because I smoke a little reefer. Someone's going to rag on me because I get high on what's that drug? Ritalin. Somebody's going to rag on me because I take some of my mom's Valiums.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, if they were really against the drug use, they'd set an example, and they're not. So.
So I know you see the hypocrisy.
Yeah.
But do the kids who pop the pills or do the drugs, do they see the hypocrisy here?
I think they do, and if once they hear about this, they'll only need to hear a second of it, and just to
tune it out,
release all their doubt of any wrongdoing of the drug use, thinking, well, looks like they're wrong all along if they're popping the pills too.
Jesus.
I hope it's really the tip of the iceberg. Hope a lot of this stuff hits the fan. Also, have you seen this new show, The Threat Matrix, on ABC?
I haven't seen it, no.
Well, I know Sean Hannity has been advertising how he's on this Thursday. He's been advertising how it's such a great show. And the way they portray Homeland Security, though, is a little generous, with all these screens everywhere. I think that'd be more the CIA. All we have of Homeland Security is orange alert and yellow alert, tape, plastic.
Yeah.
And I just noticed one little error, because I my initial thought was just propaganda, look at this, we're showing all our troops in Iraq and how we're fighting the terrorists, but it looked like a pretty good show until I saw this one scene where it's apparently mid-daylight in Washington D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's walking around the White House. I can see the sun through the windows,
right.
And he's saying we have a team on the ground right now, and they do a little special effects zoom out with a satellite right to Iraq, where it's daylight. And I'm just thinking, you know, it's not daylight on both sides of the earth. If they're really going for realism, it's not the way to do it. So I just thought I'd ask those for certain kind of people.
Good for you, Zachary.
All right.
Send them an email and say, hey, you screwed up. Zachary, thanks for checking in, pal.
Thank you very much.
All right. You have a good weekend. Zachary makes a good point, and I don't know why I hadn't thought of it, but I hadn't. How the publicity, although I notice media are trying to, if there's any conversation about Limbaugh, it's about the ESPN thing. Media are trying to, so far, avoid this this drug thing. You know, if it would have been Bill Clinton, if they would have found, you know, some speed or some kind of pills in Monica Lewinsky's purse, or somewhere else, wherever she carried things, imagine the screams. Imagine if who's a good liberal? Who's a good liberal entertainer, Kathy? Think of a good liberal entertainer. Al Franken. Okay, if they found Al Franken with a bunch of pills, wouldn't they be screaming? Tim Robbins. They'd be screaming about, oh, the effect this has on the children. Oh, the effect this has on the children. You know, and somebody would stand up and say, well, wait a second. You know, kids probably don't pay too much attention to Tim Robbins or Al Franken. You know, I mean, they might occasionally see him on the Letterman show, but, you know, what difference does that make? But the point would be forced, right?
I thought this were role models.
Hasn't Limbaugh always said he's a role model? I mean, like Zachary points out, the kids that are doing drugs surreptitiously, sneaking around, popping a pill here and there, smoking a little weed here and there, you know, just doing that thing that kids used to do without really being harmed too much. I'm sorry, but that's pretty much true. Nowadays, living where we're living, so many teenagers who do drugs continue to do them. Hell, they're force-fed drugs when they're 9 years old, especially little boys.
Well, Mrs. Jones, your son sits here and stares out the window during geography class, and we are recommending that he be put on Ritalin because you know he's got attention deficit disorder. We can tell because he stares out the window, and when we give him these little dumbass assignments, you know, he writes poems, so we better put him on Ritalin. Our kids are drugged from day one, for God's sake.
And then we tell them don't do drugs. And then we have Rush Limbaugh. Now, I wonder what Asa Hutchinson, I wonder what the Crisco kid, Ashcroft, I wonder what these people, you know, are they thinking tonight, oh, Jesus, this guy just made our job harder. Yeah, what about the kids, indeed? Jody's calling from Arlington Heights, Illinois. Hey, Jody.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I heard you talking about if Limbaugh, well, first off, he has still, you know, not admitted that he's actually taking these pills.
Right.
But if he ever gets to that point, I said we don't have to worry about him being on the air because when he gets to the step where he has to apologize to everyone, it will take the rest of his life. And I think he should start with Chelsea Clinton for holding up the picture of her and saying, you know, there's no new dog in the White House.
Yeah, I know.
She was a child.
Right.
And then, I mean, that was like, I could hardly stand to listen to him, but when I actually saw him do that, that was it. I mean, I have hated him mm-hmm. with a passion ever since. And, I mean, I will say that I hate him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe I should try harder to develop a little compassion for him, but it's not today.
I hear that.
And it won't be tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be for some time, because until he can come up and say to these people, I'm sorry for what I've done, he doesn't deserve it. I should try harder, I know, but I'm not going to. And the other thing about him and Arnold, oh, and by the way, I think you can't do Arnold because you're Italian. It sounds like a Don when you do it, by the way.
It does indeed, doesn't it?
I mean, it's just, you know, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work at all.
No. But the problem with this is all of this, like today, right? Okay, Kay stood there and is telling everybody, we can't find nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right, but all we hear, you know, we're hearing about Limbaugh, and we're hearing about Arnold Schwarzenegger, and, you know, it's the sex and drugs that cover everything, and the really serious issues, once again, are swept under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like it that Limbaugh's getting it, I like it that Schwarzenegger's kind of getting it, but in the end, these issues still aren't going to be addressed because something like this always happens.
Yeah, and there is, no matter how we try to deny it, media in this country is so heavily right-wing, so heavily corporate, corporate conservative, that these astonishingly terrible issues, like the Limbaugh thing, somehow they will be tamped down. They will be covered up. It'll take the New York Daily News, or it'll take the Inquirer. It'll it'll take some publication like
San Jose Mercury.
Yeah, to bring this stuff out. And the thing that really bothers me, where it concerns these two clowns, Schwarzenegger and Rush. And by the way, Rush said that today on his program. He said, isn't it interesting that Schwarzenegger and I and our president have all been attacked over the past... You know, it's
right.
Just... You talk... Well, my one emailer said he suffers from toxic narcissism. Sure, he puts himself, and rightly so, with these other hypocrites. But with... With media being what it is, I'm just wondering, is Schwarzenegger, if the citizens of California do recall Gray Davis and go on to the second question, I'm afraid that Schwarzenegger will get it.
Well, I personally think they should start, you know, right again with a new recall vote.
Yeah.
You know,
the
I think Tim Robbins should run the next time.
There you go.
And I'm sick of them telling us, you know, it used to be the Hollywood elites.
Mm-hmm.
And now there are no Hollywood elites. So I think Tim Robbins should run.
Yeah.
He's no longer one of those people.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh.
Thanks, Jody.
Okay, Mike.
All right. You take care. Well, regarding what Jody just said. On his program, on one of his television programs, he said, welcome back. Thank you very much. You're watching Rush Limbaugh, the television show. Substance abuse, that means drug addicts. We're now going to cover their rehabilitation. No, we're now going to cover the rehabilitation. He meant tax money. If this plan goes through. Jerry Colangelo is the president of the Phoenix Suns. He's a man I've recently met this year as a guest of a friend of mine who's the coach of the Phoenix Suns, Paul Westfall. Had lunch with Mr. Colangelo. He's done miracles with this franchise. 6 years ago, five of his players were charged with drug abuse and this kind of thing. Colangelo decided never going to happen again. He's got a player named Richard Dumas, a one-time violator of the NBA drug policy. Got caught again violating the terms of his rehab. Colangelo says, I've had it. You're not playing here for the whole season. I don't care if you're clean. You got to show me that you cannot, that you can stay clean for an entire career. I'm not going to pay you this kind of money. Now, I want to read you along, I want you to read along with me a quote from Jerry Colangelo about substance abuse, and I think you'll find that he's very much right. Put it up, Chet. Put it up on the screen. Quote, I know every expert in the world will disagree with me, but I don't buy into the disease part of it. The first time you reach for a substance, you're making a choice. Every time you go back, you're making a personal choice. I feel very strongly about that. Now, that's what Jerry Colangelo, president of the Phoenix Suns, what he's saying is that if there's a line of cocaine here, I have to make a choice to go down and sniff it. And I don't know how to do it, but if I was going to do it, I'd do it. If there were a gun here, it wouldn't fire itself. I've got to reach for it and, you know, pull the trigger. And his point is that we are rationalizing all this irresponsibility and all the choices people are making, and we're blaming not them, but we're blaming society. All these Hollywood celebrities say the reason they're weird and bizarre is because they were abused by their parents. So we're going to pay for that kind of rehab, too, and we shouldn't. It's not our responsibility. Let me ask you, Rush, were you abused by your parents, you sick bastard? Huh? How about your weird, bizarre behavior? Were you abused by your parents, Rush? This is from another one of his radio programs. In fact, I'm reminded, I had this story about 3 weeks ago, maybe it was before Christmas, maybe it was far back in November, but there were a couple of drug convictions out in, I think it was a Colorado court, and these guys had done some really bad stuff, and they were mandated federal sentences for the crimes they had committed, and the judge apologized to the criminals while sentencing them because he thought it was too severe. He apologized, and the community was outraged. So we've gone from a judge sentencing a mother who makes her child beg 6 months in jail to judges apologizing for getting dope dealers and drug salesmen off the streets with too severe a sentence. It's that. You see, it's that. It's what this unconscionable thug has spread across the fruited plain, border to border, coast to coast, through the sanction of Premier Networks and Clear Channel and ABC and every filthy ass corporate network that carries this guy. To hell with the drug abuse. What about the mind abuse that he has put out there all these years?
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to set its gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
The Tom Hartman Show.
Bill in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, posting on our message board.
The doorbell rang, and I answered the door just as I finished posting how fed up I am with Bush. What a surprise. The guy standing in front of my door was very Republican look about him. His first words to me were, "Hi, I am your Republican precinct captain." Boy, has this guy got the wrong address, I said to myself. But not before I made it known to him that I consider Bush a menace to America. He started squirming and glancing around the front of my house. Our junkie responds. He says, "I remember when the only people we had to worry about meeting on our doorsteps were Jehovah Witness crusaders. Now we have right-wingers. That's really scary." How to scare off door-to-door Republican visitors. And Klaus adds, "Well, answering the door naked can have the desired effect."
For Christ's sake, will you cover yourself?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network. Tune in to IE America Radio Network weekdays for the best in progressive talk radio. The Tom Hartman Show.
That's the Tom Hartman Program right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The Radio Free Speed Zone.
Welcome, one and all. Tony Trupiano with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everything is well where you're at. It is okie dokie where I sit.
Family talk.
This is Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera.
The All-American Talk Radio Show.
All-American Talk Radio with Peter B. Collins and Peter Lawford.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I know I have a reputation of being fiery, hard-edged, passionate, outspoken, opinionated, and sometimes explosive. And that reputation is well-deserved because I am. I'm a liberal with a microphone, and that makes me dangerous.
For more information on these shows and other shows, or to listen live, visit us on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Of the truth, here's Mike.
Five before the hour. You know, another thing to consider here, we're coming up on another break. Back to your phone calls as soon as we come back. I know some of you have been holding on just forever. I do apologize. But the deaf thing, the going deaf. Remember, even Kathy and I, a year or so ago, driving to work, we would say, that's really rough. Somebody who makes their living doing talk radio. Not that we felt any sympathy for him, but, how's he going to... The deafness and the sympathy that he worked out of his audience. Oh, poor Rush. Poor Rush. What was it, Kathy? It was... what was the cause of deafness before we come to realize it's his drug usage? Autoimmune disorder, right. The carefully constructed lies. Now, I'm making a lot of assumptions here. You're damn right I am. But the information is out there. The medical information, I posted some of it on my website last night. The use of hydrocodone, medical information out there says after 2 years of habitual use, you can expect to lose part or all of your hearing. So here's Limbaugh causing, like what happens to so many people who get addicted, causing their own, the breakdown of their own bodies, not to mention their minds. The addiction is just a bastard. It is so bad. It is so bad. It's been going on since during the entire history of the human species, I would imagine. But the lies that this man put out, the false sympathy. Oh, cry for me, Argentina. I'm losing my hearing. Oh, but I'll struggle on. The hypocrisy. Again, the hypocrisy. He lies about it to garner sympathy. Now, do you suppose that in any of his, whatever medical tests he took before they did a cochlear implant, if he really had one, do you suppose that anyone said, well, Mr. Limbaugh, your blood comes back just drenched with all these drugs. Jesus, do you realize you're doing this to yourself? I don't know. Well-paid doctors keep their mouths shut. There is a physician... client privilege, right? But I thought that all passed away with the USA Patriot Act, didn't it?
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
Drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Yeah. Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
A New York Times CBS News poll has found the public's confidence in President Bush's ability to deal wisely with an international crisis has slid sharply over the past 5 months. 45% of Americans now have confidence in Mr. Bush's ability to deal wisely with an international crisis, down from 66% in April, and half now say they are uneasy about his approach. Just 40% of voters expressed confidence in Mr. Bush's ability to make the right decisions about the economy, down from half in April, while 56% said they were uneasy, up from 42% in April. ABC News obtained a copy of an unpublished book proposal with quotes from a verbatim transcript of an interview Schwarzenegger gave in 1975 while making the film Pumping Iron. Asked who his heroes are, he answered, "I admired Hitler, for instance, because he came from being a little man with almost no formal education up to power. I admire him for being such a good public speaker and for what he did with it." He is quoted as saying he wished he could have an experience like Hitler in the Nuremberg Stadium and have all those people scream at you and just be in total agreement with whatever you say. Schwarzenegger may be battling yet another opponent, the California Women's Law Center, who will be holding a press conference outside of his campaign's bus tour. They will be demanding that the district attorney investigate claims of sexual battery by the candidate, that regardless of the statute of limitations, if a crime has been committed, it should be investigated. Bush administration's chief investigator formally told Congress yesterday, after searching for nearly 6 months, that U.S. forces and CIA experts have found no chemical or biological weapons in Iraq and have determined that Iraq's nuclear program was in only the very most rudimentary state. Before the war, the administration said Iraq had a well-developed nuclear program that presented a threat to the United States. Now, it clearly does not look like a massive resurgent program based on what we discovered, said former UN Weapons Inspector David Kaye, who heads the government search, yesterday after briefing House and Senate intelligence committees in a closed session on his interim report. The investigation into the leak of a CIA officer's name is likely to expand to other Bush administration agencies, including the State and Defense Department's officials, said Thursday. A senior Justice Department official, speaking on condition of anonymity, said those agencies and possibly others could get letters urging officials to preserve documents such as phone logs and not to delete emails.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 save the music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
British scientists say they may have worked out why the cookie crumbles. Researchers at Loughborough University in central England say the problem may be due to cooking techniques and humidity. This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Does Burger King have a new fire-grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Time for another visit into the far, far, far out frontier of free enterprise.
Today, Spaceship Hightower takes you to the cutting edge of avant-garde consumerism, where you're simply not with it unless your wardrobe accessories include the Air Supply Mini-Mate, the Evacuate Smoke Hood, and the Evacu-Shoot Parachute. Survivalist chic has arrived. In these days of code orange alerts, outbreaks of SARS, anthrax scares, the possibility of exploding tennis shoes on your airplane, and goodness knows what other hobgoblins might pop up, well, one simply has to accessorize accordingly. Luckily for the nervous set, there's been a mushrooming of businesses with all sorts of stuff to sell in the burgeoning scare market. For example, are you worried that the guy sitting next to you on your next flight might have SARS? No problem. Just hang a Mini-Mate around your neck and rest easy. It's an air purifier that supposedly kills airborne toxins. Only $145. And I'm sure it'll work as well as hanging a garlic clove around your neck to ward off vampires. Then there's the Evacuate, a plastic smoke hood that promises 15 minutes of protection. No word as to whether you attach it to your head with duct tape. And if that fails, just whip out your Evacu-Shoot, break a window, and leap into the dark night shouting, Geronimo! But if you're really hip to fright, you'll spring for the Tote and Go 72-Hour Survival Kit, which prepares you for, well, whatever. It's got purified water pouches, food rations, sanitation bag, poncho, flashlight, blanket, whistle, hand warmer, radio, and so much more. This is Jim Hightower saying, Franklin Roosevelt calmed a nation by saying, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. George W.'s twist is to say, we have nothing to fear if everyone buys enough fear gear. Maybe it's part of his economic stimulus plan. But if you buy all this stuff, you'll need a mule to haul it.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Marie writes in, a long time ago, Limbaugh sold his soul to the devil, and now the devil has come to collect. Ow. Frank is calling from Ontario, Canada. Hey, Frank.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Yeah, before I started listening to you 6 months ago, I used to listen to a lot of Rush Limbaugh.
Uh-huh.
Well, tried to listen anyway without smashing my hand through the windshield in front of me.
Oh, yeah.
Some days, I'll tell you. I was reading a right-wing website tonight, and listen to this. He says, true or untrue, I stand with Rush and will not abandon him or his show. I will not change what I read, what I watch, whom I admire, what I listen to on my radio, who I buy my products from, or who I vote for because the media and the liberal smear machine wants me to.
Yeah.
And then he says, I will not be a sheeple. Well, that is being a sheeple.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
And just mentioned also when I signed up for your forum board there on your website,
uh-huh.
Your message board, the tagline that I use is, well, you know how Rush introduces his show, Talent on Loan from God?
Uh-huh.
Well, I put down, Rush Limbaugh, God is asking for your talent loan back plus interest.
I would think. Well, what we've decided to say is his talent is on loan from the pharmaceutical industry.
In this case, yes, that would be correct.
Yeah.
But, well, as Arnold would say, talk to the hand.
Thanks for checking
in. But we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Frank. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. from Kevin in Lakewood, New Jersey. Mike, what's going to happen to our service people? Our soldiers, remember that Russia's on Armed Forces Radio. So what is this going to do to the morale of our troops? How do they feel that Russia's supporting terrorism, according to the anti-drug ads? How can the government allow a terrorist supporter to be allowed on Armed Forces Radio? Just wondering, Kevin from Lakewood, New Jersey. Well, don't forget, Kevin, that our soldiers are on go pills. You know, it just kind of, you know, that's what I've been told, right? To make those shock and awe bombing runs, soldiers on the ground, too. From Daryl. Hey, Mike, it's the Vodka Poet from Nashville. I'm listening live tonight. Concerning Rush. Concerning Rush, half my brain wiped out on Vicodin, just to make it fair, Limbaugh. I listened to the first half hour of his show today. So did I, Daryl. And just to see whether he held himself to the same level of accountability that he holds liberals to. The message was twofold. One, you love me. You really love me. Two, I don't know. I'm still learning about things about this. I don't know about everything yet. But as soon as I know, I'll let you know. Again, as with his initial statement, he denies nothing. Granted, he admits nothing either. Of course, he's not going to come right out to his audience and say, hey, let me be straight with you. On the subject of a criminal investigation, there are more people listening to my show right now at any single moment of my entire career. So you understand that anything I say at this point, whether it be to deny that any of this ever happened or to break down and admit that I have been abusing prescription drugs by the thousands, will eventually be used against me in a court of law. Certainly the noble thing for me to do as a self-professed advocate of truth and justice would be for me to admit that I'm an addict. I mean, there's The Wire, there's the answering machine messages, there's emails, there's a nearly $200,000 in hush money. There's the fact that OxyContin abuse destroys hearing, and if it weren't for these implants, I'd be deaf. The fact that I'm a hypocrite for not admitting it before it got exposed by the press. I'm an addict and a hypocrite, and I need help. Yes, that would be honest and forthright thing for me to do, but, and as my loyal listeners who hang on my every word, you should expect no less from me. Unfortunately, that's not what you're going to get. It's not that I've caught the amnesia bug that seems to be running rampant in the White House. It's not that the drugs have obliterated my conscience. Not that I ever had one. No, the plain and simple fact is that I'm rich. I'm humbled that you all love me as much as you do, but I'll be damned if I'm going to fall on the sword for you. Screw that! I'm not like you little people. I can afford high-priced criminal defense lawyers. I plan to come out of this on the other side with nothing more than taping a few anti-drug PSAs. I know you all. I know how you think. Hell, I decide how you think. You think there's a reason why I don't object when you call yourself ditto heads? You'll overlook any transgressions I may have committed, just like our illustrious president. And then you'll help me right back on my moral high horse. And then we can get back to talking about Clinton's wiener and how they're responsible for rampant unemployment. After all, I'll be damned if I let that little pipsqueak Hannity usurp my throne. We'll be right back with more on the EIB Network. Yeah. Boy, is that... Do you remember a movie, most of you would have had to have seen it on Turner Old Movie Channel, or maybe you've rented a video store. Hell, I remember when it came out in the theaters. I'm that old. Face in the Crowd. It was a, wasn't it a, it was first a play or a novel? God, Elia Kazan directed it, didn't he? Yeah. And the star was Andy Griffith. And the story, as I remember it, was, you know, just some cornpone guy who started out in somewhere here in the South and worked his way up to where he had a nationally syndicated television program that everybody tuned into, and he totally disrespected his audience. There are all kinds of subplots, but he totally disrespected everybody and everything. And one night the mic was left open when he thought he was off the air. And it was his downfall. And but the hubris, the hypocrisy, the duplicity, the irony, all of it. If I recommend that movie. Did Elia Kazan direct that? Yeah. Okay. Patricia Neal was in it, right? Lee Remick. And, of course, Andy Griffith was one. It was a very, very heavy-duty dramatic role. I think he got nominated for Academy Award. Did he? I don't think he won it. But and this the movie came out in the 50s, I believe. Early 50s or mid-50s. Before there was such a thing as a nationally known radio or television star. I guess there was no, back in the 30s, Father Coughlin, who was a neo-Nazi Catholic priest who eventually was taken off the radio by NBC. Joe Pyne, although he was in the early 60s, I think. Anyway, if you get a chance, A Face in the Crowd. Luke is calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, that's a great film, I tell you what. It really is.
Oh, you've seen that one.
Yeah, the scene where he's at, like, at a train station, he's been visiting, and he steps into the train, and Patricia Neal's right behind him, and he turns around, and he's saying hi, you know, bye to everybody. Mm-hmm. Walks around, turns around, and he gets this real sour look, and says, I hope I never see that town again.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
My thing I want to get onto is about the leak gate. This thing, did you see Paul Krugman's thing today, Slime and Defense?
Oh, God, did I?
And I mean, that's just... I mean, we know that's a standard operating practice.
That's right.
But I tell you what, the thing got me, the one that got me today was, here they say, the Justice Department about the thing, well, you've got till Tuesday to make sure you've got all these logs and things saved. It's like, why didn't you have an FBI agent there that afternoon?
Well, this is just like the Iran-Contra scandal when, what's his name, the traitor, the guy who defiled the uniform of the United States Marine Corps, Oliver North, and his co-worker, Fawn Hall, spent all night, pulled an all-nighter, so to speak, destroying evidence. That's precisely what was given to the thugs in the White House this time.
Well,
24 hours advance notice that there was going to be an order issued by the Justice Department, which gave them time, whatever they could destroy.
One thing that got me, though, got me thinking about is I've seen a couple stories, and one is, okay, we know that apparently they had to talk to Novak between, say, the end of June and right the 1st of July. So somewhere there's a phone log that has Robert Novak's name on it.
Yeah.
And then we had this story about the second wave of it, they call it, sort of where they were peddling to these six other journalists. Now, supposedly everybody's saying, well, they can't come forward. They said, well, I saw something the other day, and I want to think it was on the Atrios or maybe in Counterspin, that apparently that one of the things Wilson was saying was he knew who the six journalists were because they all called him trying to verify the story.
Hmm.
So he knows who they are.
Huh.
So all he has to do is tell the Justice Department, these people tried to contact me to verify the story. You take those phone logs and see who's talked to those six people from the White House.
That's very true.
And put it up on a chalkboard, and 10-1, you're going to have 2 to 3 names get down real. Because if you see the thing with Eric Bohart today, said it's all looking like now it's going to be Scooter.
Yeah, Lewis Libby, but Karl Rove.
Oh,
nothing happens without his checking the OK box.
Well, I mean, now if it was somebody really low level, maybe you could say it, but somebody like Scooter. You know good and well anything gets out of the White House, he's run it by Karl Rove.
Sure, absolutely.
You talk about movies. Now, you know what the problem with this is, don't you? Okay, now if we get it down to Scooter, do you remember the movie Assassination with Charles Bronson?
I don't.
Okay, had this movie where at the very end they find out the guy who's the villain is like the chief of staff at the White House.
Oh.
And Bronson takes him on in this elevator, throws him out of elevator about a 20-story drop. The next thing you see is the guy walking to the podium. He says, you know, the such and such, he was in such poor health. It's my sad duty to tell you he did pass away in his sleep last night.
Uh-huh.
So if I'm Scooter, I'm watching my back.
I would think.
Because somebody's going to be the man they dropped the net on.
Well, if I were this woman, this housekeeper for Rush Limbaugh, Miss Klein, I would be watching my back, too, and my front, all sides, top and bottom.
Well, I'm part of the Rush thing. I saw something today where somebody was talking, I think it was one of the editorials about not ready for prime time, talking about Rush.
Yeah, that was the New York Times editorial page, right.
Was it, I think that was the one, or is that or is E.J. Dionne's thing, Judgment to Rush. But do you wonder if this will finally put a stop to people like Russert and Koppel trying to mainstream Rush? You know, for years, Russert has tried, and Koppel has both tried to get him on mainstream, you know, media as a journalist.
Well, this is going to make the big guns in mainstream media
really wary.
Yeah, the Rush Limbaugh is going to become an old Soviet-style non-person to these guys real quick. Nobody wants to be associated with even an investigation where it concerns drugs of another equally enormous media star. They will abandon him faster than you can say, you know, what happened. But as far as the Ditto heads, they will come to his support because this is all something contrived by Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Well, talking about the Ditto heads, just like you said the other day, you know, until it's either a live boy or a dead girl, they'd probably still go with Rush.
And even then, they probably would, right.
Hey, one other thing on the Arnold thing.
Well, let me put you on hold, and I'll come back right after this break, Luke.
Oh, yeah.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
The Mike Molloy Show.
According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them. They are jailed, in some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday, from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
They're coming to take me away.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
To see why people would call you up, you really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Who says my
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why not something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
Conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Back to Luke in Knoxville. Go ahead, Luke. Put a cap on it for me.
Okay. Sorry about that, Mike. It's so much good this week. It's hard to keep up with us.
I know.
Okay. On the Arnold thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, even if Arnold's elected, I think we can get him thrown out of office because apparently the man has serious memory problems.
Yeah.
He can't remember any of these meetings and people he's met over the years. I mean, every other thing is, I don't remember that. You know, it's like,
sure.
I mean, I'm still waiting for one of these reporters to find enough backbone to go up and ask him about the Ken Lay meetings.
Oh, yeah.
On the deregulation.
Yeah, Greg Palast has a column out that I'm going to post at my website tonight that lays out the Ken Lay $9 billion Arnold Schwarzenegger thing.
In California, that would be the biggest scandal because that's the main problem they've had in their finances.
Mm-hmm.
was the electric deregulation and all that screw up.
Yeah.
And the Enron and all that. It's like everybody's afraid to ask it. And then you've got Pete Wilson who put that in, made that possible.
Yeah.
But nobody seems to want to call it. Oh, one other quick thing on Russia. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You were talking about the things that Russia's done over the years. I can mm-hmm. remember back. This is going way, way back. You remember Kitty Dukakis?
Sure. Yeah, we've been talking about that.
I mean, that's one. It's like, say, I've heard some people say you should be nice, you know, and then some people say, and it's like, I tell you what, I'll have just as much compassion as he's had. And until he comes back and starts, and still I hear him do about a three-week apology of apologies.
Yeah.
And, you know, until I hear that, he can twist in the wind.
I hear you. Luke, thanks for checking in.
Thank you, Mike. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, I got an email from somebody earlier this evening, and I'm sorry, I got it here in the pile somewhere, pointing out that, you know, before there is salvation and forgiveness, there's got to be confession and atonement, right? So many of these really important people, especially the really rich white guys or the really well-connected white guys, expect to skip a few. You know, Clinton got caught and he went through repentance and atonement, didn't he? Oh my God, he turned his personal life over to what, two or was it three counselors, ministers who monitored his every move for months. Can you see Newt Gingrich or Rush Limbaugh or Jerry Falwell or any of these other monstrous thugs on the right doing something like that? No, I can't either. From Quasimodo, just wondered, I recall hearing that the maid had gotten Rush something like 4,700 pills in a period of a few months. How many pills is that a day? Well, it's a lot, Quasimodo. Yeah, the numbers that are out there now are astonishing. You know, one thing I noticed about the behavior of addicts that I have known and loved in my life until it came time to get the hell away, was that one thing an addict wants, especially a pill pusher, is or a pill popper, you've got to have a stash. You've got to have a supply. And it's never enough. If you have 500 stuck in the sock drawer, that's not enough. And you're only taking, say, 10 a day. That's a 50-day backlog. Doesn't matter. 500? I need 5,000. 5,000? I need 50,000. That's just the mindset of an addict. There can never be enough. So how many did he take a day? Well, he took enough that he could maintain his prayer. He took a few enough to maintain his ability to be on the air noon to three every day, Eastern time. Except for the slurred speech, there were days when, you know, we all thought, who knows, that it was because he was struggling with deafness. And it turns out he was struggling with deafness. But one of the indicators of someone going deaf, unless they've been are profoundly deaf from birth, you don't forget how to pronounce words. Right? I mean, Kathy told me this today. I think it's right. Her mother is a speech pathologist. Kathy grew up preparing lesson sheets for her mother, who taught in private schools. So, you know, she would know. But what was going on was the fact the guy was just stoned on his ass. That's all. He was just stoned on his ass. Quasimodo says, P.S., can you send a shout-out to the folks on the ABC Iraq board? If so, thanks. Of course I can.
Hey, a big shout-out tonight to the folks on the ABC Iraq board. Hey, dudes and dudettes, how you doing? We'll be right back after this break.
Yes, sir, I'll get the door, roll the carpet on the floor, for a man,
for a man,
for a man,
such a man,
for a man,
with his hand up his...
Ditto,
ditto,
ditto, ditto.
Ask us the name of the king, it's Rush.
The greatest man in America.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Powell, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer has got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
A Bush administration plan to rewrite overtime eligibility rules was dealt another serious blow on Capitol Hill yesterday. After a few dozen Republican lawmakers crossed party lines, the House narrowly voted to oppose changes to the Fair Labor Standards Act, changes that organized labor says would strip a net 8 million American workers of their right to time and a half pay.
The public-private safety net entrusted with protecting workers' pensions is appealing a decision placing 2,500 steel workers under its care. The workers lost their pensions when Republic Technologies went bust last year. A federal judge ruled this week that the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation must pay pensions to all eligible claimants. But the PBGC, currently straining under a deficit measured in billions of dollars, says it has no cash to pay Republic workers, much less the $96 million total they're due.
Riders on the Immigrant Workers Freedom Ride rallied to the defense of laundry workers in Washington, D.C. yesterday. Employees of Sterling Laundry walked out on September 8th for recognition of their union Unite, and according to organizer Victor Caraballo, the workers hope to clean up an unsafe workplace where dirty laundry represents a health hazard.
It comes in tinted with blood, feces, needles come in, and in this case we have people have told us even the biohazard bags that are supposed to be disposed from these hospitals come in this laundry, and they're the ones that dispose of it.
Freedom Ride organizer Maria Elena Durazo says employers like Sterling take advantage of their workers' undocumented status to squeeze out higher profits.
And that's why we believe we have the right to legalization and family unification and equal rights on the job.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Listen, there's all kinds of ways to treat substance. I understand that.
27 before the hour, it's obvious that the program has been devoured by the Limbaugh thing, and to the extent that we all realize we are not talking about things need to be talked about, we apologize. We'll just get this out of our system tonight, and then Monday, topics that are really important. This is important. It is important. The hypocrisy of these right-wing thugs. Limbaugh has been hideously influential on the political drift in this country. So the topic is important. I don't mean to say that it shouldn't be discussed. If this were not the man who sets the political tone, as filthy as he sets it, who has tried to destroy the social contract in this country, then it might not be newsworthy. But from the Letterman Show, thanks to the people at Democratic Underground, top 10 items on Rush Limbaugh's to-do list. Number 10, apologize for racist remarks by explaining he was high on illegal painkillers. Number 9, pat down friends and family to see who's wearing a wire. Number 8, announces a candidacy for governor of California. Number 7, end pill addiction, get back to sandwich addiction. Number 6, search desperately for some way to blame the Clintons. Number 5, make moves on soon-to-be-single Halle Berry. Number 4, tell Donovan McNabb derogatory remarks were part of a new season of Punked. Number 3, brunch with Robert Downey Jr. Number 2, dinner with Trent Lott. And the number 1 item on Rush Limbaugh's to-do list, check job listings for pompous blowhard. Thanks to Democratic Underground for that. Yeah, I like number 10 the best. Apologize for racist remarks by explaining he was high on illegal painkillers. Yeah, no kidding. Wally is calling from Delaware. Hey, Wally, good to hear from you.
Hey, Mr. Malloy, I wish I could talk to you every night, but I wonder if we can squeeze a little potpourri in since you got me so riled up.
Now, you're just kidding when you say, Mr. Malloy, how
yeah.
are you? Okay.
Yeah, you know I am.
Okay.
And I don't thank you for taking my call anymore.
You don't, and I appreciate that deeply. And you don't say, hey, Mike, Wally here, dittos.
I never did that, though.
I know you didn't.
Okay, Mike, you know, it's important we talk about Pig Boy because he really is the Socrates, the linchpin, the pioneer architect of this right-wing coup that's devouring our country.
You're right.
And let me ask you this, as someone who, like me, has suffered, just been bothered by what's happening to our country and having to listen to dimwits like this that are polluting our airwaves. Did you allow yourself to have the fantasy that maybe the pendulum was swinging the other way any time during this week? Did you allow yourself to be deluded like I did a few times that maybe there was such a thing as karma and justice?
Yeah, a little bit, but it doesn't take much to pull me back into reality to realize that these evil bastards still control everything. They still control media. They, you know, Limbaugh, Schmimbaugh. You know, we still have soldiers dying, being blown to pieces. We still have killers in the White House. So, yeah, I entertain the thought a little bit that maybe, just maybe, God had waked up and decided to raise a little hell down here, but I'm starting to think, no, that's not the case.
You know, I thought of you, though, because you used to say, you didn't say God's going to punish him, but you used to say Rush Limbaugh's going to be punished. So what's his, he's going to be like a Paul Harvey-type character with his lockstep ditto heads. I mean, this won't drive him off the air.
Well, you never know. If this gets into a criminal activity, if Limbaugh is indicted, if Limbaugh is... there's one rule in media when you're a well-known media figure. If you're a Wolf Blitzer, if you're Rush Limbaugh, if you're Paul Harvey, if you're Peter Jennings, people like that. And the rule is this: you never become part of the story that has to be reported on your network. That is the kiss of death. Once you become part of the story, you are toast. So, what about Kathy said Dr. Laura? What? Yeah, open your mic. What?
Well, I was always surprised that she didn't get blown out of the airwaves for her little spread eagle extramarital affair when she was in her 20s.
Right, but that was it was old stuff. Had she done, that's the way it was looked at by her. I think she's owned by the Premier Radio Networks, too. She's owned by Clear Channel, too. That was seen as, that was literally a youthful indiscretion. I'm not justifying it. That was just what she did when she was in her 20s. But you don't become part of the story. I have known in my time a couple of people. One was a local news anchor here in Atlanta. Another was a news reporter in Chicago who became a news story for bad stuff. And once that happens, you're gone. Now, there's a heavy investment in Limbaugh. You don't invest $250 million in talent like Limbaugh without taking out some heavy-duty insurance policies. And I mean literal insurance policies, you know, where if something happens to your star, act of God, a criminal activity, a heart attack, whatever, you're paid off to protect your investment. So the other side of that is Limbaugh is endorses products. He's a spokesperson for certain products. He represents Premier Radio Networks, and he is the linchpin of so many radio stations across the fruited plain.
I never thought about it that way.
If he gets involved where it becomes criminal activity, that's the reason he didn't say anything today. He's been told by his lawyers and Premier Radio Network, don't say a word about this until we can shake it out and decide what's going to happen. Premier Radio Networks has a massive investment to protect, as do 650 radio stations.
He's the anchor store at the shopping mall is what you're saying.
Yes, he is.
Okay, wow.
He's the big old anchor store. If he goes, there's a ripple effect. If Limbaugh becomes the story, and he won't, this initial phase of all this is going to fade very quickly. Mark my words. Come Monday, it's not even going to be a story. Not until the arrest had been made, the warrants had been executed, now the indictments, the grand jury testimony of these people that ran the drug. Don't forget, so far it appears that Rush did not run the drug ring. Rush was not one of the sellers. He was one of the major buyers who got caught up in this thing. He may be called as a material witness. It may turn out that his testimony, and testimony is a public record, unless you're a rich white guy, and then you can have some of the records suppressed. Look what Newt Gingrich did in his divorce here in Georgia. He got the public record, the testimony locked up so that nobody can see it, because Newt Gingrich was an absolute pimp. He was a pimp's pimp. If he thought there was a woman in a pile of rocks, he would go over and try to do it. So if you're a rich white guy or a powerful white guy, you can have stuff suppressed. But once Limbaugh becomes part of the story, he's gone. He's out of here. And, of course, that's no big deal. He's a young man. He's got lots of money. He'll do quite well. But he will be gone, which will immediately open up all kinds. He will do more to increase jobs in this country once he's gone than anything George Bush could come up with. Trust me on that. There'll be all kinds of people who'll be looking for his job. Of course, Hannity would try to, hey, put me in there. But all these local radio stations that have used syndicated programming, all of a sudden they're going to have a great big old hole that they're going to have to plug. Oh, they'll probably put Savage in there.
Well, you know, if you've talked about this, I apologize, but what about, because I keep hearing this, and I hear people that want to hear it,
yeah,
a progressive antidote, liberal radio network.
Well, you're listening to one.
I know I am, but I'm listening to you through the Internet.
I know.
And I know somebody in New York gets you on the radio, but I know if you are out over the actual airwaves,
I know.
You have a huge following.
I have lots of people ask me this when I have been on major radio stations and major markets. We just glom up an audience that's enormous. But the insistence on keeping a program like this off the air is as real as anything that you and I encounter day to day.
Wow.
There is a I cannot tell you. When I separated from WLS in Chicago, I probably talked to program directors and general managers in every major market in this country. I sent audition tapes. I sent ratings. I sent press clippings. I sent the awards I'd won. Every single one of these sons of bitches said, well, you're a little too edgy for our market. Washington, D.C., San Francisco, New York, L.A., I'm too edgy? No. That wasn't the case at all. It's because there is a lockdown in this country where it concerns liberal talk, unless it's in the liberal ghetto, which is the internet or a few stations here and there. But as far as this program or any program like this program ever in the current political climate, being out there on 500-600 stations, it will not happen. Now, that's something that Kathy and I have just had to accept. We understand that this program, A, would be highly marketable. We understand also that this is probably the peak for both of our careers. It's just not going to get any better than it is here. So,
well, I can't believe that. Everybody I've turned you on to is remarkable.
Oh, I know. Sure. And I've experienced this before when I was on the radio here in Atlanta and on a 50,000-watt clear, not clear channel, the corporation, but clear channel, meaning nobody else could broadcast on that frequency, which is what WLS was, too. We had people listening in 38 states, people who, Jesus, I mean, we had enormous. It's not for lack of ratings. It's not for lack of audience or interest. It's the bias in the radio industry. This is a great job. This is a prostituted, perverted industry that I work in. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We have seen other liberal talk show hosts turn neocon just so they could stay employed. I won't do it. That's why 80% of my audience comes through the internet. That's just the reality. And it's been a mind-boggling situation for Kathy and I to deal with. It's very difficult. Thank God we have found a way to cope. We do drugs.
Well,
I'm just kidding. Oh my God. Kathy just looked at me. Her eyes got as big as coffee saucers. No, we don't. Jesus.
Well, you're going to feel like taking drugs when they start saying Governor Schwarzenegger next
week.
Hey,
been there. Trust me on the drug thing, Wally. Been there, done that years and years ago. There is probably not an illegal drug on the planet that I didn't try. Trust me. And I'm just not interested any longer. I'll have a drink now and then. I couldn't care less. I don't even smoke anymore. I do coffee, but I've just given it all up. You know, the reality is for people who can't tolerate drugs, and I just can't tolerate drugs.
Well,
I
knew you were kidding.
Yeah, okay, good. Thanks, Wally.
Okay.
All right, sir, you have a nice evening. No, that is, Wally brings, a lot of people have brought that up. If your show was out there, Malloy, I don't have any doubts about that. I remember when I was on WSB here in Atlanta and Sean Hannity was on WGST, there was no competition. There was no competition at all. It's always been that way. When I was on WLS in Chicago, I had higher ratings than Rush Limbaugh. It's always, and he was on the same station I was on. It's always been that way. Always. But there is just a poisonous bias against programs like mine. Look what happened to Ski and Skinner. Ski Anderson, Nancy Skinner. Two people who had a kick-ass show on WLS in Chicago. I talked about this the other night. Both of them now gone. Excuse me. It's a topic that just drives me crazy. It drives me crazy. But there's nothing I can do about it. So you just kind of go, well, okay, too bad. Robert is calling our L.A. correspondent. Man, why have you been holding on so long?
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, Robert. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm just enjoying the party. And listen.
Okay.
And yet they talk about how liberal the media is. It's the liberal media. It's the liberal media.
Oh, back
whatever.
Squeeze. Yeah.
Listen, Mr. Limbaugh, the reason why you are being persecuted because they want to divert attention from the recall election. And Donovan McNabb, the greatest quarterback? No way. It's Joe Montana.
Right.
Excerpts from the Rush Limbaugh program earlier this afternoon.
I know. I heard some of that. I just wanted to gouge my eyes out and poke nails in my ears. So I just, we listened to the first 45 minutes and I can't do anymore. I can't.
It's ridiculous, and And, you know, the diddleheads, you know, they have their own little, wrapped in their own little world where you don't have to think. Rush does all the thinking for you, and that's all that matters.
That's it. That's it.
And you know what's really interesting? I know we're coming up on the break here, and you're about to end the show. You know, putting a spin, putting the race spin on it right now, I really think that when you hear somebody like Limbaugh and any other right wingers, you know, let's face it, the bottom line is, number one, he brought this entire situation on himself.
Sure.
Yeah, but he's too ignorant and too self-fulfilling to recognize what he has done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And in addition, you know, you talk about the issue of race and also this term of being politically correct.
Right.
What the hell does that mean, Mike?
That's what white conservatives use against people like you or people like me who try to find some justice someplace.
Exactly. And they'll hide behind that phrase just to rectify their own biases, their own ignorant ass comments.
Well, just like one of the little bits I heard him say today before I had to bail out, it was in that first segment. He was talking about some court case in Washington, D.C., that the Washington Redskins can continue to be called the Redskins.
Right, yeah, I heard about that.
And you know, I'm thinking to myself, what if we had a team, you know, the Whiteskins or the Blackskins? And Rush looks at that as a good thing, that they should be called the Redskins. Okay, maybe there was a time in this country when that sort of thing was acceptable, but Jesus H. Christ, have we not gotten to the point yet where we can stop denigrating a people against whom we can commit a genocide by naming some chump-ass sports team the Redskins? Is there no way we can do that without being accused of being, you're just trying to be politically correct?
You know, Mike, if you continue to have these situations of people, you know, not really understanding each other, and you have the Rush Limbaughs and the George Bushes and every other conservative movement going buck wild, you're always going to have the same status quo. And believe me, they want to go straight back to the 1950s when we were completely segregated from any other ideas, any progressive thought. Have a good night, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Robert. I appreciate you checking in, pal.
Just a catheter, siphon up your life.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need more tissues.
Sleep like
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nighty?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free, and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples.
Aww.
Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
I want everyone to listen up and understand clearly. We need some good weekday programming ideas. I don't know why no one is writing this down.
Oh, geez. Oops.
We need some good weekday programming ideas that will appeal to all angles and opinions of all listeners. Any ideas? Johnson.
Oh, you said the wrong name.
It's Jameson, sir.
Jackson, Johnson, Jasper, whatever.
Maybe we can pick up Limbaugh and convince him to move more to the middle.
That's good. Get out of my office. Yeah, get out. Jeez. You're an idiot.
Sure.
Spicoli.
It's Smith, sir.
Yeah. Give me something good.
Why don't we just have some shows that will appeal to everyone's opinion? It'll make the listener base more diverse and make for a good show.
A talk show that everyone will listen to because their opinions will be supported by other listeners and welcomed by the show host. That's brilliant. Good job, Swanson.
You're on the ball.
Everyone take this next holiday off.
Wait, someone has to work. Doug Steffen's live.
Come on.
Best in progressive talk radio, weekdays, on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Doing talk radio right from the left, it's Mike Malloy.
About out of time. James in Santa Fe, you know who's doing that music, don't you?
Hello?
Yeah, James.
Actually, I didn't really hear that. I was all breaking up because of my cell phone and music doesn't come through too well. I just heard a bunch of guitar notes.
Oh, that was the California Guitar Trio.
Oh, yeah, the California Guitar Trio. The ultimate in nerd rock trios. I saw them a couple years ago here at this place in Santa Fe called the Paramount.
Kathy says you're a part of the League of Crafty Guitarists?
Yes, when I was in high school, I when I went to college, my first major was Bachelor of Jazz Guitar. And when I was still in high school, I was accepted to this Robert Fripp thing where you like kind of
right.
Like... right away, and he was doing this experiment called the Guitar Craft or something like that, and I was in Guitar Craft number 2 and became one of the League of Crafty Guitarists.
I'll be damned.
I never went on tour or recorded with him or anything like that. We played in George Washington's nephew's mansion in the middle of nowhere, West Virginia.
Yeah. The group that is playing here in Atlanta was there at that mansion along with the Intergalactic Cowboy. Remember him?
That sounds vaguely familiar. It was so new when I did it. It was like
right.
It was Easter of 1985,
that,
I think.
And that's it.
I was a senior in high school, and it was Guitar Craft number 2, and it was like a week-long seminar, and it was about
right.
18 hours a day of playing guitar, and it was pretty intense. And he gave you enough stuff to like work on for the rest of your life. It took me about, I'd say, 5 to 7 years to get used to holding the pick the way he wanted everybody to hold the pick.
Did you get into the Gurdjieff Ouspensky stuff?
I read about it. It never really stuck. But there are a few guitar players on planet Earth that I actually think are like my icons, and Robert Fripp is one of them.
Yes.
Another one is Dick Dale.
Right.
And another one is a living guy who grew up in Santa Fe and lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he plays that double neck guitar lap steel. His name is Junior Brown.
Wow. Wow.
And then there's the guitar player of guitar players, the guy who had two of his fingers paralyzed and play the entire fingerboard with two fingers, Django Reinhardt.
Oh, yeah, Django. A good friend of mine named his third son Django. Hey, listen, we're out of time, James. I know that's not what you wanted to talk about, but call in Monday. All right?
Monday.
All right, call me Monday.
Thank you.
Thanks for checking in. Program engineered in Detroit by Charlotte Jones tonight. Producer in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces a lot of thanks to Mark Marshall of MaximumInteractive.com for our website and our militant mods at MikeMalloy.com. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, you are invaluable to this program, pal. I'll see you Monday, I hope. Take care. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kenny, wherever you are.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Ban ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in.